The EP Podcast, heard everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at theeppodcast.com.
The EP Podcast brought to you by the First National Bank of Evergreen Park. Your child's bright financial future starts with learning good money habits early in life. Help them get ahead with a Junior Savers account from the First National Bank of Evergreen Park. With a Junior Savers account, kids earn interest on every dollar they deposit so they can watch their money grow. Show your kids how fun and rewarding saving can be and set them up for success. Learn more at bankevergreenpark.com/junior or stop in and see the folks over in that iconic building in 95th and Pulaski. Check out one of the many different types of accounts that we actually have here in the Lanuti House. The littlest one has a Junior Savers account, gets a statement every month, and gets to see his money grow. The First National Bank of Evergreen Park, member FDIC. Your local high school basketball team had some excitement in the past week. Joining us on the phone line right now, the head coach of the Evergreen Park Mustangs, Jim Sexton. Hey, congratulations, coach. A regional championship, first time since the early 70s. That's an accomplishment.
Thanks, Chris. I really appreciate it. Yeah, no, it was couldn't say more about what our guys did to accomplish that. And it was a lot of hard work in the making, you know, a lot of summer afternoons and early fall mornings working on the shooting gun and practicing together, and it was a hell of an accomplishment.
I thought one of the most interesting things about that entire tournament was that the four teams that were hosting a regional or were the highest seed in that region all advanced. And then in the sectional, it was the two higher seeds that made it to the sectional championship, and then the number one seed won the whole thing. Like, they actually got the seeding, I guess for lack of a better term, they got it right.
Yeah, no, if you're into sports gambling, they would call it chalk, right? They had all the top seeds 100% right on, and it doesn't happen every year. There's upsets every year, whether it be IHSA or March Madness, which we're upon here for college coming up pretty soon. But definitely, no, they had the seedings 100%, and unfortunately, we ran into a buzzsaw in Thornton, and they were just a tougher team, and they had a lot of size and speed that we just weren't able to match up with. But beating Hillcrest for that regional championship was huge, and it was a great celebration. Like you said, the first time since 1974.
I think anytime you're cutting down nets, that's a cool thing. Was that fun for those guys? What's that like getting up there? I mean, you've done it before, but are you giving them advice like, hey, make sure you get a good piece of the net?
Yeah, no, it was actually funny because, you know, obviously you can't say, hey, let's prepare for cutting down the nets. But, like you said, I've cut down nets before. Trey Dowdle, our senior, who had a huge game in the regional championship and had 32 against Hillcrest to help us win that the regional, were probably the only two, I believe, on the team and some of our assistant coaches that had ever cut down a net, whether it be a regional or a conference or a sectional championship. So we kind of joked that Trey had to go first, even though he probably should have went last. He had to go first because he was the only player that knew how to cut down a net. So it was an awesome experience, though, for the guys. And they really are not only our fans, but the players especially enjoyed it. And it was a really, really cool experience.
What's this team look like next year? Do you have a lot of seniors leaving? Are we building towards something even bigger next season?
We have a lot of seniors leaving, and a lot of times that's kind of a negative thing. We lose 10 seniors, I believe. But we also return two starting guards, Keyshawn Bavall and Lonnie Mosley. Lonnie's a two-year starter, or actually will be a three-year starter next year, and Keyshawn had his first year at Evergreen as a junior. So starting backcourt will be back. And then we've also got our JV level and our freshman levels really did well over the year and progressed. So, yeah, we've got some size coming back. And I think it may not be the same 22-11 regional championship, but we're hoping to continue to develop that and stay on the same path. I don't think there should be much of a drop-off at all.
Really, really exciting stuff. I was so excited when I saw that you guys had won the regional. And then when I saw like how long it had been, I didn't realize how long it had been for Evergreen Park High School since they had won a regional, to be able to do it on your home court. Just great stuff. What do you have going on in the off season now?
right now we're actually we have a ton of you know, as we continue to do a lot of great things at Evergreen Park, there we're rehabbing all of the locker rooms and certain levels of the school. So we may not have a ton of access at the school to continue our off-season program, you know, a little bit in the spring, but during the summer, they're going to be doing a lot of renovations on locker rooms and continuing to do all the great things we've done at the school to just update everything at the school, which is awesome. And the positive thing is we were able to go over to the sports complex and practice and run our summer camps over there. We'll have our youth summer camps over there, as well as our high school summer camps to get ready for next year, and obviously have our shoot arounds and our weight training sessions as well to get prepared for the, you know, the varsity season coming back up, but also have our youth camps over there as well. So it's kind of nice to be able to have both locations to go, kind of go back and forth from.
Do you like the break of working with the little kids at these camps?
Oh, love it. It's, you know, I mean, I feel like, you know, and you know this, like we've started when we were playing years and years ago, you know, you probably didn't start playing basketball till you were in fourth or fifth, maybe sixth grade. You know, to get your first taste of playing, you might be playing in the backyard or playing three on three with the kids in the neighborhood. But I feel like now and nowadays we start kids playing basketball earlier and earlier. Like we run a youth program through the recreation department tied in with Evergreen High School. We start players at 5, 6 years old, 7, 8 years old, playing on smaller baskets with smaller balls. And it's awesome though, because the kids get in there and they get an opportunity to, you know, test everything out as far as any athletic opportunity they have, or whether it be piano or whatever you know, thing that they want to get into. But obviously, with basketball being our big thing, is, you know, getting kids a chance to learn at a young age, and, you know, just learn how fun it is and play with other players in the area. But yeah, it's great. I mean, And then when they get into the competitive age where there's referees and there's scoreboards and, you know, it's awesome. And I think the kids get an opportunity to learn at a young age, you know, how to win and lose. And also, you know, like I said, to make good friends and good teammates at a young age.
Yeah, I know. I think when we were younger, I don't know if it was different for you, but I don't think I was on a grammar school basketball team till I was in the sixth grade. And to watch how early they get to start playing now, who knows? Maybe I would have been better. Probably not. I was a terrible basketball player.
Hey, no, it might have made a big difference in your career.
No, I think being 5'10" was the difference in my career. So, listen, look, again, great job on the regional. And, you know, looking forward to seeing what happens next. You're having an experienced, talented backcourt come back and bring a young group that performed well at the lower levels, at the JV and at the freshman levels. That tells me that we're going to see some excitement next year with the Evergreen Park Mustangs. And you get the offseason now focusing on over at that athletic center as well at around 91st in California. I see you got pickleball over there and a bunch of other programs. You're going to be busy.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, no, it's we'll definitely miss our seniors. I mean, it was you know, an unbelievable senior class. And, you know, obviously, one is super special in my heart. My son Nolan. It was great to have 4 years with him and all of his buddies that he grew up with. And like I said, it was an awesome senior class. But as you know, in athletics, time moves on, and we're on to the next year after a great celebrating. We have one more team meal tomorrow night to celebrate these guys and the regional championship and the 22 wins. But then, yeah, the season moves on, and we're on to the next group. And like I said, I think we've got a lot of talent in the pipeline, and I think we'll do a great job. And yeah, obviously over at the Evergreen Park Sports Complex, it's a great facility to have. But yeah, we as far as that, we have the outdoor pool open up around Memorial Day. I know it feels like a summer day today, but we'll be moving into that. And then, like I said, pickleball. We'll still have some of the district teams practicing over there, getting ready for playoffs and championship games as far as, basketball and volleyball. So it's an awesome place to have.
Jim Sexton, he's the head coach of the Evergreen Park Mustangs basketball team. They won a regional championship, first time since the early 70s. Quite an accomplishment, and even more excitement, I'm sure, for that program in the years to come. Thanks so much, Coach.
Thanks, Chris. I really appreciate it.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things that Country Financial stands for. They're more than just an office you may pass by as you drive through Evergreen Park. They're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of your community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. And since Country is already your neighbor, they want to get together and chat. Call your local Country financial representative, Mike Thauer, today at 708-425-1559 to talk about the things that are important to you and how he can help you protect them. Your EP podcast, Word on the Street, brought to you by Spoken Vine Wine Bar and Bottle Shop, northeast corner of 95th and Kedzie. Wines from all over the world presented to you in all kinds of different shapes and sizes. That's right, do some tastings or get yourself a big, full glass to go along with some of the great dishes coming out of the kitchen. And if you find something you like, buy a bottle in the wine shop on the way out the door. 21 and over establishment, a great night for wine is pretty much every night. See more at SpokenVineWines.com. Applications are now being accepted for the Village of Evergreen Park Summer Internship Program. Students get the opportunity to see how local government operates, and they get training and resources to help them further their careers. Evergreen Park residents who are freshmen, sophomore, or juniors in college are eligible to apply. These are paid internships, 15 to 20 hours a week, starting on June 17th, going through July the 26th. And you can now apply through April 3rd. Go to evergreenpark-ill.com. Early voting now available in Cook County through March 18th, and residents of EP can vote early at the Oak Lawn Village Hall at 9446 South Raymond. Meanwhile, election judges and polling place technicians are needed on election day. You get about $250 to $400 depending on what position you're working. Go over to the Cook County Clerk's website for more information. The Village is hosting a teen and adult job fair at the Evergreen Park Library in partnership with the EP Chamber of Commerce. Sunday, March 10th, 1 to 3 p.m. at the library, 9400 South Troy. And kids, check out Movie Night at the Youth Center on Friday, March 29th. It kicks off at 6 p.m. Bring your blankets, your sleeping bags. A $5 fee gets you a movie, hot dog, popcorn, and a drink. Register by March 22nd. It is open to kids in grades 5 through high school. If you want more information about that or the Youth Center, give a call to 708-229-3377. Sitting down here at the 9-Foot Homemade Oak Bar, we have a couple of return guests who I have, first of all, never had at the bar together. One of them, I only had on a Zoom call or live podcast before. Both of them are going to be at the YA Literary Festival coming up on the 16th of March. You've heard all about it since the moment it was announced that a couple of librarians, Mary Black and Tina Ward, were going to have a literary festival. They knew what day it was going to be. They were announcing all the details. They had absolutely no money and no authors. And now this thing has come together, and I look at the flyer, and it's huge, and Z Jeffries is back. How are you, buddy?
I'm fantastic. I'm really happy to be here. Happy to be back.
Awesome. Awesome. And you're a part of this thing. I figured you would be. Local author. They're having a literary festival. They got to have local flair at festivals, right? That's kind of like what they do.
Totally. And I just have to say, Evergreen Park, we are a literary community. We have a fantastic library. We have fantastic educators and librarians here. And, you know, even the mayor has a reading charity. And yeah, I'm going to say it. We Evergreen Park is a book town.
Did they come and find you, or did you hear about the festival and be like, I want to be part of this?
They talked to me like I already knew about it and was, of course, going to do it. They said, well, yeah, you know, the YA thing is coming up next year,
yeah,
and you'll be here,
right,
for that. And I'm like,
yeah.
The YA thing? That sounds like something I would do. What's
awesome.
The YA thing?
That's awesome. And Rebecca Gardner is here as well. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's great to meet you in person.
You too.
Yeah. It's always weird when you first meet somebody over like a screen. We did a lot of that coming out of the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, how many people did you meet? And then, like, later you met them and you're like, oh, you're taller than I thought, or shorter than I thought, or, you know, like, somehow, like, the video didn't do you justice, right? Yeah, exactly. So it's good to have you down here as well.
Thank you.
And when I talk to you, now you're in Oak Lawn, right? That's where you live as well. So another local author, you're going to be part of this as well on the 16th. And I remember you talking about this book before, Why Won't My Boobs Grow? And Other Annoyances. So it's a YA festival, literary festival, youth oriented. Is that the best way to kind of explain this?
Yes.
I don't know what YA means. It's youth.
Young adults.
Young adults. Okay. See, I couldn't even wrap my brain around. Okay. Young adults. So this is a young adult book, correct?
Correct.
All right.
Yes.
And it's been out for a little while. We talked about it before. Yes. How long has this been out and how's the reception been since we last talked?
It's been great. I published in May of 2022. So we're coming up on my second book birthday.
Yay.
This May. Yes. Thank you.
Do you throw a party for a book birthday?
Every year.
Really?
No.
You get a little cake. You put the book in front of the cake.
We do a little post for Emma on social media and she has her moment. but no, reception honestly has been really, really positive. Positive, especially like within like the local community. Like I feel like the South Side especially like is just so welcoming and enthusiastic about local talent. So it's been great. I did also get kicked out of a vendor fair.
You got kicked out of a vendor fair?
Because of the title of my book.
This is, first of all, this is great. I love this because you're going to a festival. And you're somebody who's been kicked out of a vendor fair before because of the title of the book?
Yes.
What's offensive about this?
Well, the
Why Won't My Boobs Grow and Other Annoyances? I don't find this to be offensive.
Neither do I. Some people think boobs is a bad word.
That's ridiculous. I can come up with plenty of other worse words.
Thank you very much.
Okay?
I agree.
Hang around my idiot friends from college. Not back in college. Now in their 40s. And they still say stuff that's more offensive than this.
Right. Yeah. So, but it was because the word boobs was in the title. And they said specifically because of the title, image, and content in your book. And I was like, you clearly did not even read the back cover.
Okay, well, first of all, the cover on the front of it is a cartoon of a face.
Correct.
There's no boobs on the cover. So
no
that's
boobs.
Crazy. Okay. And secondly, this seems like something that would be helpful to a young woman.
That's
rather
that's
than something
the
that is degrading. You don't seem like somebody who's writing degrading books. You don't strike me as that.
No, I am not.
So
and it is not smut for teenagers. It is just, it's like Judy Blume for a new generation.
Were you invited to this fair?
No. So it was just like a vendor fair. So I put in an application to be part of it. And they refunded my application fee and said, actually, no, thank you. We don't want you there. Yeah.
The world's getting weird, man. Isn't it? It's getting weird, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You know, I am thrown off at times about the way that people react to books. It is, you know, I remember when I was a kid, like we all seem to be about the same age, right? Okay, when I was a kid, that would have been something people would have laughed at if somebody rejected anybody for any kind of book, right? Mm-hmm. Like back when we were kids, it was like the era of like, we don't censor anything. Because it's a book, for crying out loud. And here's the thing. I'm not going to wade into the craziness and the politicalness of like what school boards are deciding and what's, you know, if it's something, I get it. If it's something where you're like, I don't know if my kid's the right age for that, I understand that. But I went through all these different classes in my journalism, you know, getting my journalism degree at the University of Illinois and the idea of like what I could say on broadcast and what I couldn't say. And the whole idea about being offensive is... It's when you're doing it in a public space. It's when you're doing it during a time when children would most likely be able to see it. And it's doing it, I mean, every rule you ever hear about the difference between your First Amendment right and something that's offensive is whether or not you're forcing it onto somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't know how a book does that because a book sits on a shelf until somebody picks the book up and reads the book. It's the same thing as like HBO. You pay for HBO. If you don't like what HBO has on it, don't pay for it. That's why
exactly.
They're able to put whatever they want to on there. And it's the same reason why I don't understand why anybody could be mad about a book with a cover like this. That's crazy.
Thank you. I agree.
You got me whipped up. Did you see that?
You know what? And I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. The internet got pretty upset about it as well. I had a lot of people rallying behind me.
That must make you feel good.
It did. You know what? It was very validating, honestly.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So thank
very
you.
Cool.
Well,
right.
People love the book.
Oh, good. Z's here. I've been talking to you so much. I didn't even talk to
you. No, I want to say people absolutely love this book.
Oh, thank you.
There are people that come up to her. I was next to her at a at an event in Oaklawn, mm-hmm. and girls coming up and picking up the book. Someone saying, "I've already read the book." It's hitting the target. People that young ladies that need to hear this thing and need to understand that they're not alone in these thoughts and feelings, and when it's not cool to talk about or you feel like you're going through something alone. And I think it's great that this book exists.
Thank you so much. That's so kind.
And I hear that there's this amazing sequel in the works as well.
You're making a sequel.
There is.
What's growing now?
I'm sorry?
What's growing now that we were worried about?
Nothing is growing. There is a sequel, though. It's coming out this fall. No boobs in the title this time, unfortunately.
Right.
The title of the sequel is Dear Boyfriend and Other High School Dilemmas.
Okay. Me, I wouldn't understand it just as much as I don't understand conversations with my teenage daughter. She's 18 years old, and I still don't understand half the things she comes home and tells me about, right? But I think that books like this are perfect for it. Age group-wise, what girls you think
get into
this the most?
I would say, like, a target demographic is really, like, 11 to 15 for this one. But the intent is for, you know, girls to be able to grow up with Emma. And a lot of the people I talk to are older, you know, grown up adults or older adults. And everyone says, like, it's a really great nostalgic, you know, fun trip down memory lane as well. So
awesome. Z, you have books for all ages. You change your name as an author depending on which age group that you're writing for. I remember that about you. So what name are you going under, and what books are you featuring at the YA Literary Festival?
I am going as Zachary Jeffries. That's my YA fantasy stuff. I will have my Z Jeffries books there available. I want to say every single kid that goes there, go ahead and pre-register. Everyone 12 to 18 that goes there is going to get a bag of book swag, and that includes a little ticket that you're going to turn in for a book of your choice.
Are these your books part of the book of your choice thing?
Absolutely.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely
they are.
All right.
And you'll be able to go to a talk, a panel conversation, and ask questions about the inspiration or the writing process or what kind of books the writers like to read. Afterwards, you're going to be able to get your books signed. And I'm sure you have this too. My favorite stories are the parents who are reading them, buddy reading, mm-hmm. with teens.
Yes.
And I have some books that are like that. And I have Angel of Fate takes place. The main characters are 17 and they're in high school and they're dealing with high school things. It's not one of those YA books where no one has any teenage responsibilities and everyone's running free in Portland with vampires. These are kids with real lives and things. And there are conversations that can come up that it might be a little easier for a mom or a dad to talk to a teen about because they're reading the same book together, because they're like, oh, this character is worried about what their friends think about their relationship. And that could be a very easy way of having a conversation. Yeah. And you have a lot of important stuff about growing up in your books. And I imagine that's really helpful.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
That's just what I was going to point out here. I've talked to you a couple of times. Rebecca, this is the second time I've talked to you. You know, a lot of authors sit there and they say, okay, I have a story to tell. They tell a story, right? However the story goes, a lot of authors will write for themselves. It feels like you guys are writing specifically for young adults and trying to address things or at least get them to think about things that they're dealing with at that age.
Absolutely.
Because that is a very up and down, crazy, topsy-turvy age.
Yeah, it's tough.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's probably perfect too. I mean, let's think about it. I say it all the time. I'm like a broken record. You know, I had a kid that entered high school when the pandemic had hit.
Ugh.
Okay. So she basically walked into her first year of school under lockdown and had to get used to a brand new school and high school at the beginning that way. And then the other one was only 2 years behind. He finished off his time and then entered high school pretty much normal. And you could see the difference.
Yeah.
Just in that little, that, you know, they all took a hit depending on what age they were in, but some age groups, it was at the absolute worst time for it. And so it's good to have these kind of things for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're developing all these kind of social skills. They're being thrown into a different social circle than they were just in, meeting new people, all these kind of things. And that's why I just think that reading is so important, and showing kids that you're in a family of readers. People who read, they make more money when they grow up. They have more emotional intelligence and have more meaningful relationships.
Probably win more arguments with people.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. And you get
critical thinking skills. You're able to decipher, you know, the good stuff from the BS that you read online and things like that. And I want to say, for everyone out there that maybe has a kid that they're worried that they're reading too many comic books or playing too many video games, there's a great way of getting them into books, because we have an author at this event, at the EverRead event. He's going to give a talk about writing comics that turned out to be his career. If you're tired of a kid playing video games all day, you can listen to this guy talk about writing video games. He turned that into a very lucrative career. So I know sometimes it can feel like, not connecting with a kid because of their interests, but a lot of times these interests can turn into careers, can turn into a life calling, and maybe you can lean into it. Maybe you can use books or an opportunity like this to talk to a writer like this and see what kind of future there is in that.
Now, there's author panels, writing workshops, book signings. It's free, of course, the EverRead YA Literary Festival on March 16th, kicking off at 10:30 in the morning, going until 3:30 in the afternoon. And the first 150 teens that register online get a free book coupon and a tote, as you mentioned earlier. But what will each of you be doing? Are you guys doing signings only? Are either one of you on a panel? What are you doing, Zach?
I believe we're both doing panels and signings. Yep. I think we're doing a panel together.
I think
maybe.
So. Yeah.
And then we'll be doing signings afterwards. And I believe there's an opening ceremonies where you can see me stand awkwardly in front of a bunch of high schoolers.
Ooh, can't
like
wait.
I did in the 90s.
That's awesome. That's exactly what you want to do on a Saturday. For sure. For sure. So let's talk about a panel before I let you get out of here. I've been to different conferences before, and I've seen panels. I've been on a panel or two before. I would imagine both of you have done it. I always feel like when I'm doing them that, like, I know what I want to talk about, but I really want to get to the question and answer as quickly as possible, because I don't like listening to myself talk about myself. You know, like, I get up there and all these people are sitting there in a room and they're watching me, and it's like, great, great. Can we get to what you guys want to talk about? Because I don't know if you are enjoying this or not. Like, that's how I always feel on those.
Yeah, I feel pretty similarly. I mean, I can, don't get me wrong, I can talk about myself like all day. Like, you want to hear stories, you want to know all the details, I can give you the tea. But once I kind of start rambling, then I'm like, oh no, I'm losing people. They're not interested anymore. And then I try and scramble to wrap up. But the question and answer, absolutely.
A little easier when you have two people too, right? Like, is
it? Well, I think there's a few people on the panel.
Yeah,
you're hoping. It might just be you two.
We'll just vamp.
That would be fine too.
Yeah, we're going to be fine. We're talkers. We can fill in the quiet space. No, I'm with you. I mean, I feel like everything about this is for the readers. Yeah. We are there for the readers. The librarians have assembled this amazing group of writers. We have writers who's had books made into movies. We have writers that are writing about North African mythology, but high fantasy in that setting. Just super creative authors from all over the area, plus really, really great local authors represented as well. Like I said, writers who have careers in video games and comics and all this kind of stuff. So I'm with you guys. Like, when I'm at that panel, I just want to give the people that are there what they want to know about. And so I love the Q&A. I really just want to give these readers what they want and connect with some readers and get kids into books, man.
Awesome.
Well,
very
and that's
cool.
The best part, too, is like getting people excited. And like that's always my favorite part of an event is like talking to the readers and hearing their excitement about what they're reading, you know, whether or not it's my book or something else, like just talking about reading and what we love and what we're excited about. I think that's my favorite thing.
When you're interacting with people, how often do you get the Chris Farley? You know, when you wrote that thing in the book about the thing, that was cool. Like, you get that a lot?
It happens. It does happen. I mean, honestly, I'm just so excited for someone to talk about something that I came up with that they think is cool. I'm like, yeah. Did you think it was cool? Tell me about the moment that you thought it was cool. I want to hear
all
about it.
I'll do more of it in the next book.
Absolutely.
You tell me what's cool. I'll write it for you, big
guy. Let's do this.
Absolutely.
Zachary Jeffries, again, always wonderful having you down here. Rebecca Gardner, wonderful to have you finally down here in person. Again, everybody, the Ever Read YA Literary Festival is going to be at Evergreen Park Community High School on March 16th, St. Patrick's Day Eve, 10:30 in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon, with author panels, writing workshops, book signings. Remember, it's free admission, and the first 150 teens to register online are getting a free book coupon where you can pick up one of the books that we just talked about, and a tote as well, and just a mess of authors at this thing. I'm excited about it because I got to witness the idea and then watch as this went along, and Mary Black and Tina Ward, the librarians that put this thing together, talking them, interacting with them here on the EP podcast a couple of times as they went through this process. I'm excited for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, I think it's cool. There's this massive festival happening in Evergreen here in a couple of weeks. And I'm excited that they got to where they, you know, they got to their goal. You know, I don't know what it's going to be like, but looking at it, it looks like they did everything they wanted to do.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. It's one of the only book events of the sort down on the South Side, specifically trying to get books for free into the hands of kids. I know that you were saying in the last time that you you have a daughter that just eating up fantasy novels.
Oh, she loves it all.
I brought over...
I did the uncomfortable thing of watching Game of Thrones with her.
Oh,
lately,
so
we skipped a lot of parts, Rebecca.
I imagine,
we did a lot of skipping.
Burn out that
I was like,
forward.
You know, that's not how it normally works. Don't pay any attention to that right there. That's not normal. Dad's not into that at all. No. Just kind of skipping through the thing.
Well, there's a...
Luckily, in the later seasons, there's not a lot of that. It's really funny.
True.
Like, once they became popular, they stopped trying to use cheap thrills on TV to get people to watch. But anyway.
I brought over a book by Maya Bawadi. This is a fantastic fantasy novel, and she is out of St. Xavier. So, again, more local love, and I'll continue to say it. This is a book and reading community, and it's just fantastic that we have people like Tina Ward and Mary Black working so hard to reward the readers out there and get books into kids' hands.
This book here, that cover's far more revealing than what Rebecca's is.
It's the EP podcast, all things Evergreen Park. It's the EP podcast, Evergreen Park.